welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. She Gets Revenge. That's the name of the episode. Who is she? Does she get revenge? One way to find out, I guess. Joined as always by Slovy from Miss Shadow Lovely. Hey, gang. It's, this episode. It's funny because I think, there's always one episode in the back, 80%, in the last 20% of a season where you're like, wow, they have a lot of plot lines to tie up. And you're right, they do. And inexplicably, there's an episode where they do nothing. And I feel like a good portion of this episode is them doing nothing. And then they do a couple things right at the end.
Or they remember a plot line that they didn't previously remember that they were doing. And they're like, oh, shit. And then they have to retroactively be like, oh, well, yeah, we did this actually. And then this. And here's a flashback where we definitely handled this in one of the episodes. We didn't forget. It wasn't us forgetting. Don't write in the newspapers that we forgot. We definitely remember. Also, we're just showing you a flashback now for an unrelated reason.
Right.
Also, we've decided you give a shit about Hypodermic Sally. I don't know why you give a shit about Hypodermic Sally, but the show has decided you do. So you better get used to it.
Also,
you care, I guess.
Yeah. Not to bury the lead as to what's going to happen in the episode, but the last episode was She Wants Revenge. And I got to say, a lot more revenge actually took place in that episode then will take place in this episode. So I don't know why this is the She Gets Revenge part of the She Wants Revenge, She Gets Revenge, setup. I think they maybe just, didn't have a name for this episode.
You know, I don't know, if you ever wrote things as, a teenager or a young person and you put, song titles in them or things like that for no great reason, and then I guess you get a job for FX or something and you still do that. And then you're like, oh shit, but I need a title for the next episode. All right. And you just do a stupid follow up and then you get paid a lot of money for the minimal amount of effort. I don't know if anyone else has done that, but I can think of a couple people who might have. So,
Even better when it's just a band's name, here.
Right.
They're the band we used in episode one for that one sequence. What if we did a callback for that huge Venn diagram overlap of people who like the band She Wants Revenge and also people who watch our television show? Surely it's almost a perfect circle. Everyone knows this band. Wait, I'm being handed a note.
We should use the band A Perfect Circle. That's a great point.
No, they're too cool for American Horror Story. Oh my God. There's going to be some real cool copyrighted music in this, ladies and gentlemen, and thems and theys. There's going to be some real, real cool copyrighted music at the end of this episode. Maybe the best they've ever done. Maybe the best that's ever been included in this TV show.
And as of the time of this recording on July 28th, 2025, let me tell you, the song choice is funnier than it's ever been.
No, I'm with you.
Really,
with you.
Really on the upswing. Really on you didn't think they could do it, but my God.
It was funny when it aired live. I remember laughing when it aired live for a different reason, and it's even funnier now. Truly aged like fine wine. In a bad way.
So I tweeted this the clip of what happens at the end of this episode too. So for me, it was burned in my mind. So I knew it was coming. I thought it was last episode. I mixed up the title. So the whole time I'm like, man, yeah, this aged really funny the whole time. So just wait. But wow.
Yeah, we'll get there. This is this episode is gonna follow all the characters you wouldn't think it would be following. This episode, given what happened in the last episode. But we start with Liz Taylor giving a tedious voiceover about how new stuff becomes old, which is in fact how time works. So I'm glad she was able to work that out. And then there's a weird montage of her handing out hotel keys to people. And two people very eagerly in this montage run up and they're dressed like bikers. And she's like, I've seen people check in here for drug deals. I'm like, I don't think two people dressed like bikers who look super jazzed to be there are there for a drug deal. Who rents a whole ass hotel room for a drug deal?
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Never been done. Drug deals are often done in a bedroom, like in the kitchen, you know, like you go into their house and they're like, okay, great, now that we're in my house,
big overhead,
like,
costs.
We don't have to worry about like cops. Yeah, like, here you go.
And making a paper
is
trail.
Is anyone in my house a cop? No? Great. All right, thanks. Yeah, also, yeah, that, yeah. It would be very funny to have a drug dealer who got caught because they kept renting, like, an old, like, five-star fancy hotel. Because, like, again, remember, the hotel can't decide if it's, like, a nice old upscale place or just, like, trash city.
Yeah, a real shithole. It really cannot decide which one it is. This montage does kind of, if you like squint your eyes a lot, serve a purpose, because it sets up the last group of people who we see Liz Taylor checking into the hotel is an old couple. Like, and I say an old couple, they're like real old, like 85, 80s. 90. Checking in, and like Liz Taylor is like, I bet these people are here to kill themselves on their wedding anniversary, because there's no way Liz Taylor would know this information. She's just guessing. And she's right.
Like, legitimately is like, oh, yeah, I've seen this before. And it's like, fucking, have you? What do you mean?
It makes no sense, right? Because especially, like, older couples, too, they usually have, like, kids and stuff that, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, I might as well hang on to see what how this story ends. You know what I mean? Like,
me when I'm jogging around the city and I see a couple of old people. Oh, yeah, they want to kill themselves. For sure.
Just like every
pair of them I pass, just like, oh, they're moving slow. I bet they want to die.
Like, she gives normal shit
to think.
Liz Taylor gives them like a whole ass backstory. She's like, they're old and she has cancer and they have 9 grandchildren and 3 children and they're going to kill themselves here in the hotel. I'm like, did they say that when they checked in? And she's right. It's their wedding anniversary and they're going to blow their brains out at the Hotel Cortez, which, can I just say, real, real, like, small margin for error on double shooting each other in the head. That just seems like you're asking for a nightmare situation.
So the way they do it is crazy. Yeah. So what they do is they don't just, like, you know, each take a pistol and shoot themselves in the head to make it, like, more symbolic, I guess. They, like, both hold a gun to the other one's head, like a consensual Mexican standoff kind of, which is like bizarre situation.
Holding my wife hostage. Like,
they do it the way we record the podcast at the start. It's like, all right, on three, ready? But we gotta get it. 3, 2, 1. I missed it.
Like, it, especially with the age, you know, the reflexes, the pull time. Like, what if one of you relents for a second and just, like, the other, like, you shoot the other person, they don't shoot you, and you're just like, well, fuck. Now I got it. God damn it.
Or room service, like, rings the bell and you get startled and shoot and it's like, ah, oh, shit.
I gotta tell you, as someone who got their concealed handgun license, I had to do like a lot of training with a handgun. I've got really weak hands. Like, if I had to guess, I'd say that 85-year-old woman with cancer probably isn't very quick on the trigger pull. So I reckon what's going to happen is that old man's going to blow her brains out and then have to like live momentarily with the trauma of that. And then have to kill his own self afterward. But these two persona themselves
perfectly.
When you say
it like that, it sounds pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like, when you put it that way, it sounds silly pretty almost. Shit, but.
Yeah, they do manage to persona themselves, like, perfectly. Like, they must have practiced this on, like, other people or something. Because they get it in one, and they both simultaneously blow each other's brains out. And then Iris, Iris comes in at this point. Iris and Liz both come into the room and they're like, damn, fucked up. And Iris is mostly mad that she has to clean everything up. She's like, wow, this is going to take fucking forever to clean up. Holy shit, this sucks. And Liz Taylor is just like sad and kind of depressed. And Iris is like, what's wrong? And Liz Taylor's like, I'm sad about Tristan being dead. Also, Lady Gaga's like, almost certainly gonna kill me, so I should probably just kill myself with this gun real quick, that way I don't have to get murdered by Lady Gaga. And Iris has a really funny response of like, first of all, you don't want to be a ghost here, but I think it's very funny that Iris was just complaining about how she was gonna have to clean up 2 dead bodies And then Liz Taylor's like, what if I make it three? Like, right in front of her. And then finally, Iris is like, you don't want to be a ghost here. And then Liz Taylor is like, oh, right, that's like a big problem that we don't want. What if we had a suicide pact too? But we did it like somewhere else. Would that be good? And Iris is like, yo, that kicks ass. Actually, it's Iris's idea, because Liz Taylor's like, well, I do have unfinished business. I need to apologize to my son. And Iris is like, great. When you get back, we can both kill ourselves. And Liz Taylor is like, what? I want to kill myself. And Iris is like, no. I also want to kill myself. And they're like,
let me in on this. Yeah. Let me just be a little bit of an energy vampire real quick. Yeah. Can I get in on this? Can I take a little bit of your thunder here?
Yeah. We both like loosely have a thing with our sons that's like sad, right? So like, yeah, I think it would be cool. I think it's funny that Iris tried to kill herself once at the beginning of this season. Donovan was like, no. And made her a vampire, and Iris is like, well, I'm gonna do it again. can't stop me.
It's wild too, because this is almost like the start of an arc where it's like, all right, I guess he does care about her after all, but then they just forget about that. So it's just like, sorry, he's too busy with vampires now, for, you know, whatever, Iris.
Which also, this scene introduces something that happens repeatedly throughout this episode, which is just expect everyone to just have a gun. Have guns absolutely fucking crazy times. Like, someone who has not indicated in any way, shape, or form they have a gun or have had a gun or are in a situation where they would have a gun.
Or would use a gun.
Have a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be ready for people to just be like, and I cast spell of have a gun.
Also,
a real nuisance.
Now that I'm saying it out loud, the thing about Iris, I'm realizing that we've come full circle to a very funny, I don't think they thought this out. I don't think they even realized it. But like, they had a whole thing of Donovan like yelling at his mom at the like episode one or two, being like, I wanted to kill myself with drugs and you wouldn't let me die because you're a bad mom. And then she tries to kill herself and he's like, no. And then now she's doing it again. So he like tried to spite her, being like, I tried to kill myself because I hate you so much and you saved me and I'm mad about that. And then she's like, well, guess I'll kill myself then. And he's like, no. And then they did that whole thing. And then she's like, but I'm going to do it twice.
Fucking pick a lane, you weirdos.
Yeah.
Because it runs in the family. Like, I can't decide on anything.
Do a double one like these old people just did. Goodness, you both keep like, trying to do it.
I'm sorry, Liz. I think you mean like these old people always do, you know?
Yeah.
The famous thing about old people is their suicide pacts, right?
That they go to an old hotel to do so that they have to burden strangers with it. I think like Liz
That's
Taylor-
That's such a shitty
like,
thing!
Yeah, Liz right? Taylor says something to the effect of like, oh, well, they couldn't do it at home. What if the kids found them? I'm like, yeah, just traumatize a random like staff person who has to clean the room instead.
Yeah. That's capitalism, baby!
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Customer's always right. Ooh.
One last time. Yeah. So that's, and then the opening sequence plays. Then we get into a very confusing sequence where Miss Evers is on the phone with somebody in a really foggy room of the hotel while Liz Taylor is pacing around. And Miss Evers, who I don't think has ever spoken to Liz Taylor in all of the episodes of this television show, is calling Liz Taylor's son for some reason, telling Liz Taylor's son that he can come to the Hotel Cortez for a whole week for free, because I guess they want to reconcile. And then after that, I guess the son agrees to it, which I don't think I would agree if a stranger I had never spoken to in my entire life was like, yeah, you're estranged. Checks notes. Father, checks notes, wants to pay for a whole week of you to stay at this random hotel. Yeah, this isn't a scam. You're not going to get robbed, by the way. This is never a scam.
It's never a scam if a random phone call wants to give you something, you know? Come on. Science.
Yeah.
Here's, also, ghosts can use
phones.
Wait,
I'm getting a call about an iPad I recently bought? That doesn't sound right.
My credit card number. Free hotel stay, but you need my credit card number? Seems legit.
Can I? Okay,
yeah,
this is
yeah, no problem.
The smallest ghost infraction that they do, and maybe it's not even a rule-breaking thing, but like, I feel like it's a misstep or like some kind of error that ghosts can use the phone. Because yeah. then it's like, if ghosts can communicate with the outside world really easily, like, then death really isn't so bad. Like, why are they bored or anything?
Yeah.
Right?
In the modern era of technology, like, if you can post... Who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got yeah, the internet.
Exactly. How can I die if I'm still posting? I think there was some philosophy about that.
Yeah, now I get to just stay posting, but I don't have to deal with, like, knee pain anymore. So, like, I think yeah. this is a net positive, what was it? Frankly.
What was it Bruce Lee said? Once you stop posting, you start dying? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. And then... After this fuck-ass phone call, Miss Evers is like, how long has it been since you've seen your son? And Liz Taylor is like, 31 years. And I'm like, how fucking old is Liz Taylor? I did the math. She has to be like 63 or
like
64. 70? Yeah. She looks the same as she did in the 1980s in the flashback. She's not like old looking. She just looks like a middle-aged person. Like, she doesn't look very old.
Also... Yeah, like pre-transition was like already in like late 30s to early 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does not look like she's aged very much, but allegedly she's like 70 something or like late 60s. And Miss Evers.
Also, her son is going to be like 30 something.
Yeah.
So like,
well, he's
going to
be like
40.
Because when Liz Taylor leaves, the son, who I think his name is Douglas, we'll get there in a second, I think it's Douglas. He was like 9 or 10, and then literally Liz Taylor just said 31 years since the last time she saw Douglas. So he's got to be like in his 40s. Mm-hmm. Either way, Miss Evers does a breakneck speed ally to enemy hate crime. By being weirdly supportive of Liz Taylor and being like, well, you gotta kind of temper your expectations. Like, your son may not be very open-minded and he might be kind of mean to you. And, like, she's, like, kind of nice and, like, priming Liz Taylor to be like, all right, you gotta be ready in case it doesn't go well. And then she immediately starts using slurs.
Right.
And being weird and homophobic.
Right. Like, without, yeah, she's like super nice, and then without using the slur, she's like, you know, by the way, you know, people in my era didn't like, you know, do the shit you do, and it's like, all right, we're the all right. You know?
She like specifically says, like, you know.
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
Folks of your nature were smart enough to not have kids, and it's like, holy shit, slow the fuck down. That's, you can't say that, motherfucker. Hey.
Which is so funny because it, like, literally 5 milliseconds before, she was like being very supportive and being like, well, I don't want you to like get hurt, so like you need to be ready in case it like doesn't go well. Like, it may not go well. Cause like the way it's presented and the way it will be presented from this point on is that the son has no idea that Liz Taylor has transitioned, which makes no sense at all. There's no way, given the information that we know, that, like, at the very least, Douglas wouldn't have, like, suspected. It's they frame it in a very confusing way, I guess, to manufacture conflict, which, I don't know, maybe hot take. I think being a deadbeat parent... is equally as scandalous in this specific, like, scenario.
Yeah.
It's having just, like, a shitty parent, I think, is equally as unforgivable as far as the show is concerned, and could maybe just be the literal singular point of conflict between these two characters, but alas... They're really weird about it. The conversation ends with Liz Taylor gifting Miss Evers a bottle of OxyClean, which Miss Evers is hype as hell about. This will be one of two times that Miss Evers is given just a random cleaning product and or device that she almost certainly has seen in some capacity, given that she's been in this hotel for 100 years, I would say. And she's just going to be so hype, like she has no idea what it is. She's so hype about the OxyClean. Unfortunately, it's John time.
John time. So John is looking at some trophies, some random bits and bobs he's cut off of people. And then Sally's just like, oh, you took their ears because they heard the calling of a false god. That's very clever, John. And like, not only is that not like a commandment, also if it was, it'd be the one that James March would be like, oh, nice, you're not believing in the god I'm mad at. Hype. Like, he wouldn't be like, oh, I gotta kill those guys. He'd be like, keep it up, fellas. Let me know if you need anything.
Yeah, the flashback we see of him doing this crime is like him busting in on like five people practicing Santeria, which, first of all, weird pull. Second of all, how did John find these people? Third of all, really, like, bizarre to be having these two characters, James March and John Lowe, who have been, up until this point, entirely, if not, like, atheists, like, maybe on the opposite end of the spectrum of, like, hate.
They
want to
kill
God.
Yeah,
hate people who are religious and find it to be, like, bad. And that's specifically why they're doing this. And I'm like, so wouldn't you want to not enforce the Ten Commandments? Like,
hey, listen,
why are
we're
you
trying to rip? We're trying to rip off seven here, okay?
Yeah,
we
I guess
don't have a lot of room for you know this. But
like, a lot of the Ten Commandments are like hyper specific to like Christianity and its various branches. Like, they don't apply to other things. You can't like apply
or
them to any
like
other religion.
30% of them
just like monotheism, right? Yeah, like, yeah. As soon as you go outside of monotheistic stuff, it's like, oh, okay, well that's all done then. Yeah.
Right. 30% of them are specifically about the Judeo-Christian God. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's not like, you know.
And again, even if it wasn't, and even if this character was like specifically hyper-religious, cutting off their ears because they heard false gods is nothing. Just truly nothing. And like, Sally's like, you're a clever man, John Lowe.
Very
I'm like,
clever, John Lowe.
That's a funny way of saying he's full of shit. A very interesting way to word that. Anyway, that's the John sequence of right now. Now it's time to start a heist. There's going to be a lot of heisting this episode. Donovan breaks into the motel where Rudy is, I guess. Something that was neither really foreshadowed nor makes any sense, really. And Natasha goes to the Hotel Cortez, which that was foreshadowed in the last, or at least set up in the last episode because Lady Gaga asked her to. Two simultaneous fights are about to happen between Donovan and Rudy and Natasha and Lady Gaga. And I just want to say, Lady Gaga and Natasha have a way more fun fight because they just start making out and like having lesbian sex while they fight. And Rudy and Donovan complain about being the prettier one for like 5 minutes. Truly the duality of man, I guess.
And like their fight is really dumb too. It's just like, oh, I knew you'd come for me once you were jealous. This is how all pretty boys act. And then he pulls out a fucking scimitar, which is like pretty wild. You're like, whoa, where the fuck did you get a scimitar? And like, why are you gonna kill Donovan with a scimitar? No, you stupid asshole. Donovan spawns a gun and then immediately shoots him. And you're thinking, wow, that's crazy. Well, good news, chat. There's a little bit of a parallel going on here because as Lady Gaga and Natasha are having cool lesbian sex, Natasha gets like a sword from somewhere, like a knife.
Her sword.
Like, just, yeah, which is like really confusing to me because I feel like if I'm having sex with somebody and I've got a sword, either they're going to notice or I'm going to take the sword off first, right? Like,
yeah.
You don't get very far before they're just like, hey, is that a sword on you? And so she pulls out the sword and gets ready to stab Lady Gaga. But one of the stupidest cinematic parallels I've ever witnessed. Lady Gaga also spawns in a gun and shoots her.
Which you might be thinking, wow, they did these scenes like in tandem and side by side and parallel. And they both started and ended roughly the same way. Just one of them had more lesbian sex and the other one had more bitching about who was prettier. And not the ones you think. And you'd think that maybe those two things are related. I need you to know, listener, They're not. Lady Gaga has no idea what's going on with Donovan and Rudy.
Yeah.
Not only are they not related, later on they will act like the death of Rudy is like this big, terrible thing. And then like Natasha's death is simply never mentioned again.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny because like there will be a part at the end of the episode where Lady Gaga's like, I can't believe you'd kill him. He was finally back, my true love. And Donovan's like, yeah, and you, actually, I have no idea who, I've never met that woman.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, they literally set up that like Lady Gaga was going to murder Natasha so she could have Rudy all to herself. And then that goes nowhere because Rudy just gets obliterated the exact same time she happens to kill Natasha. And also, this brings up maybe the biggest glaring issue with this is, why the fuck did we have these two characters from the 1920s? All they did was, like, get out of a wall and then immediately get blown the fuck out by two separate people. They did nothing.
Natasha went on a shopping spree with money that didn't exist.
True.
So that was pretty cool. She had to do that, I guess.
Can I also reiterate again? They were real people in real life. Why did we do this pull at all? Like I want actual silent film actors here for no reason, literally, just so I can kill them later. Like, did you actually not like the silent film actors? Like, Ryan Murphy and Brian Fuller? Is this like your little revenge on them? Like, what is this? Like, but
yeah, I just wanted to do a smear campaign 100 years later for these two actors. Yeah. So that happens. Somewhere else in the hotel, James March is wearing that goofy ass radium mask and like hostile butcher outfit again that we sometimes see him wearing, but not all the time.
The thing they use to like invoke the vibe of Saw, but like it's not the same way
distinct.
And doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like it makes you think of Saw, and then you see this and you're like, oh, like Saw. And then they hope like that elevates your opinion of the material.
Yeah, and then maybe in a completely unrelated sequence, who could say, James March has the contractor from the day before hooked up to what is definitely not the fire version of the ice trap in Saw. Definitely not the same thing, even though it douses him in flammable chemicals and then sets him on fire, whereas the ice trap douses you in water and then freezes you. They're different. They're really different. And the fact that James March is dressed as a Saw character and doing the reverse of the Saw trap from the movie is completely coincidental.
No, Liz, you're wrong. They're different elements, okay? One's ice, one's fire. One's cold, one's hot. They're on opposite sides of the sink. All right.
Sounds like somebody watched Avatar The Last Airbender before producing this episode.
Yeah.
Guys, I stole a new idea. I mean, had a new idea. So,
how do we make this
another problem?
Well, I was in the shower and. All right. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, another reason this is like super problematic is later in this episode, we will see the hastily installed vault door completed and functional. The contractor did it. Like, the whole thing is James Marsh asked him to do an impossible thing, and he did it. So it's complete, not like James Marsh is like, I'm killing you anyway. It's like, why? I don't know. I'm fucking bored, man. Like, what do you want?
We saw it in the last episode. Like, he fully installed the door. He didn't think he'd be able to, but he did in time, and they were able to, like, trap Will Drake and Ramona in there. And then, like, now we see him setting this guy on fire in a not Saw trap, and he's like, why are you killing me? And James Marsh is like, you didn't keep your word. I'm like, but he did, though. What do you mean? He did the thing you told him to. If anything, you should give him a raise. Yeah. And then after that guy gets obliterated by the not Saw trap, John stumbles in and is like, what the fuck? I thought we weren't allowed to kill people in here. And James March is like, don't fucking worry about it. And John's like, where's my wife? I think you know, James March, even though you're not part of that storyline. That's Lady Gaga's storyline. And James March is like, fuck, bro, it's bros before hoes, dude. Wives are only gonna bring us down. And John's like, well, I'm not going to kill people for you unless you tell me where my wife is. And then so the answer to that is for James March to set up Alex and John on a weird date in the weird date room. And Miss Evers is like, well, here you go. I've made you a little snack so that you guys don't have to argue on an empty stomach. And Alex walks in the room, and she's goth now because she's a vampire, obviously. And they have the funniest fucking exchange I've ever seen two characters have. Where John's like, you gaslit me. He doesn't say that exactly, but he starts complaining about her lying and stuff. He's like, you gaslit me.
You lied to me and made me think things that weren't true. And yeah, her response immediately is just, Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what about it?
I did. Now what? And then
I also made you like relapse and stuff. Yeah. You know, like we're gonna gloss over all that, I guess. But yeah, no,
she doesn't even try to like justify it. She's just like, yeah, I did. Anyway, I've got other shit going on. But then in this like exchange, John's like, hey, wait a second, don't we have another kid? And Alex is like, no, yeah. Anyway, that's literally the extent of it.
They have a weird exchange of him being like, how long has it been since you've seen Scarlet? And she's like, well, how long has it been since you've seen Scarlet? And he's like, shut up.
It actually is kind of like that. Like, because at one point they're like, well, I guess we could at least agree we're the world's worst parents. Yeah. And then that's it. And it's like, well, what about Scarlet? Like, you brought it up, but you have to keep the thoughts going. You just stop there. Yeah, we suck. Anyway, like, well, okay, but, you know.
Damn, can't win them all. Yeah, can't win them all, I guess. Oh, my God. It's such
a funny. Well, enough
funny.
About our nerd daughter that doesn't fucking matter. Let's talk about these kids I made into measles vampires. It's ass. It's so bad.
It was a bad idea. I fucked up. It was bad. Sorry.
I messed up so bad. I need you to fix this somehow, I guess. And John's like, okay.
Right? Like, and why would you be? It'd be like, oh, you fucking gaslit me and did all this shit to me? Like, yeah, I'll help you. Like, what? Like, that doesn't fly.
I can't quit you, divorced wife. I can't.
Divorced wife who hates me and doesn't take care of our other kid. Yeah. John, who has functionally argued against the, like, the ghosts existing, in every circumstance he is blatantly confronted with ghosts, does not apply to vampires, because he finds out about vampires and is immediately like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Vampires are for sure real. Yeah, got you. Doesn't question it even a little bit. He's like, yeah, you became a vampire and our son's a vampire and there's like a bunch of vampires. Yeah, whatever. That's fine. I have no further questions about that. You made a bunch of vampire kids? Fuck them. Let's take care of it, I guess. God.
Well, I certainly can't grandstand now. Yeah, I'll kill the vampire kids. It's
And we get like a flashback, and apparently Alex like admitted to Lady Gaga that she had done the thing with the kids, and or kids singular, and he had made more vampires. And Lady Gaga's like, "You better fucking fix it, or I'm gonna kill you and Holden." And John's like, "Boy, howdy, I'd like to get involved. Get me in there, I guess."
Like, wouldn't it be, I could really get behind it, wouldn't it be more realistic if he's like, I'm not fucking helping you, and then she's like, yeah, but she's gonna kill Holden. He's like, God damn it, you really fucked up, Alex. I still think you're the worst parent, you know, but whatever.
No, I love my wife. I'm a wife guy now, I think. But we're gonna take a break from that storyline to Liz and her son again. Liz is at the bar. Douglas comes in. Liz does not introduce herself. And I guess we are supposed to glean that Douglas does not recognize her. They have like weirdly flirty banter for a few minutes. And I'm like, I don't remember this going this way. Luckily it doesn't. But I'm like, I don't remember there being like Back to the Future-esque plot line of like a son not recognizing their parent or vice versa. I mean, for Back to the Future. But like, I'm like, I don't remember this vibe. Luckily, it doesn't go that way. And they have like a really long conversation about like his life, you know, like you'd have with a stranger. And then Liz just lets him leave without ever explaining who she is to him. Even though I think that, even given what we learn later, I think that at the very least, Douglas would be like, damn, my dad didn't show up to the thing he invited me to.
I know. Well, he's saying he's supposed to like meet up with. You know, like they're gonna meet up, and he says a thing too, what is it? And he's just like, Douglas is kind of like, well, you know, I guess, you know, I wonder why he left. I guess, you know, maybe it was something about me. And then Liz is like, I'm sure it wasn't your fault, you know, which is like, that's not enough. Like, you know, like, come on, Liz.
Yeah,
like,
good reconciliation, Liz.
Yeah, the door is right here for you, Liz, but
no.
She doesn't take the bait, so whatever, I suppose.
Doesn't matter. John and Alex time again. They've gone back to the Children of the Corn house, which I could have sworn Alex took the kids out of. Also, the front of the house has, like, bespoke crime tape around the front door, like a Halloween decoration, in a way that does not actually section anything off whatsoever.
And the kids just came back in, I guess. Like, they were like, well, they checked out. They're probably not going to come back here again. They did their one visit. That's all they do, right? Then they're
done?
They
left all the blood on the floor and stuff. But I'm sure they have no follow-up investigation to do about the, like, 70 bodies that were inevitably found in this house. And as they, like, break in, they hear a noise upstairs, and John's like, I'm gonna go investigate upstairs, you stay here. And then Alex hears, like, a cough and goes after it, and then Alex finds a little vampire girl named Kimmy on the floor who is not doing well, and then a kid named Jimmy. I'm only saying this because we get lambasted with both of these names one after another, and I'm like, you not only named these two children, but you couldn't come up with anything better than Kimmy and Jimmy. Is there also like a Timmy somewhere that we could maybe dig up?
Some real Jimmy and Bimmy shit. Yeah. Some real original localization of Double Dragon ass names. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, but at least like the arcade Double Dragon did a better job than American Horror Story of naming people.
Like, real. Yeah,
he's Billy with L's. That's way more normal.
Yep. Well, Kimmy's not having a good time on the ground, and Jimmy attacks Alex. And then Kimmy starts coughing up a bunch of blood. All of the, like, vampire children converge on this one room. Alex does some piss-poor CPR, which I don't know why she would even think CPR would work on a vampire.
It's like CPR and also rescue breaths, but the CPR is like, it's like just kind of gently vibrating a rib cage. It's just kind of giving it a little wiggle, you know, which it's probably like child actors. You're not allowed to like really give them the business like you're supposed to with CPR, you know, but it's like really confusing why she thinks this would even help and why she would be like, these kids have super measles. Yeah, I'll just put my mouth on one of them. Should be okay. Yeah.
Surely that wouldn't be bad. But alas, apparently you can just die of regular measles, even if you have the vampire virus, because she, like, coughs up, she being Kimmy, coughs up some blood and then dies. So I guess the virus that is supposed to keep you from getting diseases doesn't, actually. And you will still die of illness. It's really unclear what this virus keeps you from dying from. Because, like, I think maybe that the writers of this show think that when people, quote unquote, die of old age, they think, like, your battery just dies. They don't think, like, there's, like, a factor that ends up killing you brought on by age. They're like, they're like, no,
it's
eventually.
Like, you have, like, weird fluid in your lungs or something that just appears there one day. Yeah.
But even that's, right, like, doesn't work. It's Rudolph Valentino and all them are, you know, they're just alive, but just like, I don't feel good because I haven't drank blood, you know, like, that's it. Like, and then, but somehow they don't get sick or anything from being down there forever, and measles, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the hell we're doing anymore with this stupid vampire thing.
There really seems to be almost no upside to the vampire thing. You're just it's like Skyrim. You're kind of just giving yourself a debuff for no reason.
It largely feels like you're just being lied to by Lady Gaga. Yeah. Like, there's just this woman who lies about things that happened in the past, and she's actually just, like, in her 30s, but she's completely batshit insane. Oh. And, like, just repeatedly being like, oh, yeah, you're a vampire now. And then, like, convinces a bunch of kids to give each other measles because she's so delusional. Like, that's more accurate.
There's going to be, like, an Usual Suspect scene where Chaz Palminteri drops his coffee cup. He sees a copy of Interview with the Vampire and the Bernie Madoff thing on the news and, like, oh, my God, that's what she did. She put it all together. It's a whole big story.
Huge. Yeah. Oh, my God. So I guess she's like, okay, now you guys have to come back to the hotel with us. And I guess they agree. Back at the hotel, unrelated. Lady Gaga's doing the singular one thing you wouldn't want to do if you had killed your husband, which is that she's invited the police to the house. He's not even been reported missing yet. She has called the police and brought them to the house. And the detectives are like, oh, well, you did just get married yesterday. Sometimes men get like cold feet and they like kind of dip after a wedding. That's not that weird. And Lady Gaga's like, no, he definitely got fucking murdered and you need to fucking investigate it.
When they said the thing about cold feet, I was eating something. I'm by myself, but I did that like sound, you know, where you're like so like, I can't believe this. Really? Like, and
God, for me, it was Lady Gaga being like, no, actually, he's not just missing. He definitely got murdered. You should definitely look into it.
Idiot, you have it out right here. Like, yeah.
You have to catch the guy who did this. You have to catch the guy who did this. I won't rest until you keep investigating who did this, which, like, it's you.
What? This is the opposite of what you want. Like, your plan is terrible. No wonder Bernie Madoff got all your money and you need to do this.
This episode in particular, like, this episode in particular really, really highlights that, like, Lady Gaga's just a real big idiot. Like, a huge idiot.
Stupid.
Yeah, incredibly dumb Lady Gaga moments this whole episode of, like, damn, you
surely
really were
I
drinking
won't be
the
a
dumb
suspect.
Bitch juice.
No one would suspect his wife. That's crazy. His wife loves him, obviously and implicitly, after only a day. So, like, they're not going to suspect me. That's crazy.
What a dope. What a fucking dope.
And speaking of Lady Gaga being stupid, the one thing that would almost certainly happen based on what she did happens, which is because she killed him in the hotel, he's a ghost there, and he bursts into this conversation like, hello, I'm alive, police officers. I now have all of the power over this situation because my idiot wife didn't think this through for some reason and invited you here, even though she could have just not done that. And so Lady Gaga's kind of freaking out a little bit, and then she, like, looks at Will, and he gives the excuse of, like, oh, yeah, I never actually left the hotel. I got lost in the hallways for, like, 2 days. And then the police buy that, and I'm like,
what?
Happens to everyone, yeah. Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, We've all been there.
Do you live in the Shining Hotel? Why did you get lost in the hotel for two days? I feel like I'd have at least one follow-up question, even if it wasn't crime-related. If I was a police officer and I was like, you got lost in this hotel for 2 days? I think I would have, like, some follow-up questions, but they don't.
Yeah, you 100%
they're like,
would.
They're like, yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense that you got lost in the hotel.
Did they decide the hotel, like, is Stephen King's Rose Red at this point in time? Sure. Or, like, yeah, the hotel just, like, restructures itself around you. Did they, like, decide it does that now, too? They're like, yeah, sometimes the hotel. And, like, the cops know about it, and they're just like, oh, yeah, 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 of course.
Yeah, everybody has this.
Maybe that's why John is the best detective or whatever, because he asks, like, a follow-up question, like, one. You know, like,
it's usually a question he's already answered previously in another episode, but he does ask questions, so I will give him that much.
Like, well, hang on a sec, and that's like that alone is so much better.
Yeah. And the cops buy this and they leave, and then Will Drake is like, "What the fuck? You murdered me!" And she's like, "Well, you were kind of rude to my fucked up baby," and that justifies it. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter because I didn't put you in my fucking will. And I'm like, damn, she didn't even think that far ahead. And she's like, well, I'm not, but your kid Lachlan is, and I'm going to turn him into a vampire and I'm going to tell him what to do. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to listen to you, frankly.
Yeah, that's not a property of vampires in this. It's not like if you're the sire to somebody, they're, like, hypnotically bound to you. That's not a thing we've seen at all.
Also,
yet.
Will
you can't even fight off measles. Like, you don't have anything.
Also, Will Drake is a fucking ghost in the hotel. So, like, if Lachlan steps foot into the hotel, Will Drake can just be, like, unable to be stopped by any physical person in the hotel. Can be like, hey, don't listen to Lady Gaga. Don't let her, manipulate
you. Hey, you know what? No, you know what we've discovered, too? He doesn't even have to step into the hotel. Will can just call him on the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens now. Damn it.
Yeah. And so they have, like, a little argument, and then... he storms off, and James March appears beside Lady Gaga and is like, well, that's what you get for killing him in the hotel, you idiot. And she says, bite me, which doesn't work because he's not a vampire. He's a ghost.
It made me so mad. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you can't use that burn. It's not right. I hate this show.
I mean, you can if you want to be wrong.
Yes.
And they did.
Was she this dumb in all the episodes and I just missed it? But like, geez.
Kind of. Anyway. They've all been kind of stupid. Yeah. Yeah, but
she rode a horse in the damn club.
Yeah. You real. Know? Yeah.
There's
real.
A certain level of dumb of ass you have to be to ride a horse in the damn club real. Under any circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex decides to handle the vampire children situation in maybe the funniest way possible, which is, she brings them to the vault room where they hide their enemies, which I guess Alex knows about for some reason, and is just like, okay, kids, get in the fridge. And they're like, well, no, I don't know if we want to. Like, get in the fridge. Come on now. Get in the fridge. And then, like, one of them kind of lunges out and is like, oh, I don't think we should go in the fridge. It seems bad in here. And John just, like, kicks him in the chest and is like, get in the fridge. And then they close the door. And the kids immediately are like, I told you we shouldn't have trusted her. Why did we do that? She put us in the damn fridge. And then Ramona pops out from the background and goes, yum, time to eat some kids.
Yeah. It's like, what? I'm like, can you do
this
that?
This scene's so dumb.
Can you eat other vampires? That feels like a self-rectifying problem. Just eat off of each other. Like, what do you mean?
No, but... That's the thing that makes no sense too, because Lady Gaga kind of sorta does that, you know, with the vampire. Like, remember how like they're like wine collector, like decanters and shit. We don't know what's going on, but that still doesn't work. You know, nothing makes any fucking sense in this show. Damn it! But
also Ramona, who's like incredibly capable, just like didn't hear them opening the vault door
she
and then
napping.
Immediately teleport to the vault door and leave.
Napping.
Yeah, she like waits until the door is closed and then she's like, oh, was that the door closing? Fuck! Oh man, I just fuck!
She's like, damn, what a bad time for me to take a nap. This sucks. Whatever. Now it cuts to what is going to be roughly like 8 minutes of John having sex with people. John and Alex have sex for some fucking reason. If it was me, I would think maybe we have bigger problems to take care of, like addressing the vampire thing, but whatever. They decide not to get divorced. She's like, I gotta go check on Holden and the other vampire kids. The ones that aren't in the walls, the other
Look,
ones.
I know John needs to lock in his triple crown of human, vampire, ghost. And once he's got all three, then he can relax. But he's gotta get that triple crown locked in.
Real.
That's priority one.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
You got me there, yeah. She's like, I gotta go check on Holden. You can't come with me. I'm not gonna go check on Scarlett, though. God, no. Why would I do that? Disgusting. As soon as she leaves, John goes to piss and gets interrupted by Sally, who appears behind him and delivers some of the most confusing dialogue of being like, well, did you come inside her or did you come on her tits like you do with me? With the whore, it's always on the tits. And I'm like, there's a lot to unpack there that we don't have time to unpack in this episode of the TV show or our podcast. And I'm like, Sally surely knows about Alex. Alex has been, like, around, like, a long time.
John has, like, definitely said things about Alex explicitly to Sally, too. Like, for sure.
Yeah. He cut off the guy's dick of the guy he thought was having sex with Alex. And Sally's always in that room where all the body parts are. So, like, she knows about Alex. I don't know why she's, like, suddenly trying to be a character. And then she tries to have sex with John. This will be one of roughly 5 times that they try to initiate intercourse over the span of this specific scene. Brutal. It's a brutal scene to watch. It's so awkward. They start to have sex, and then John's like, no, I'm a wife guy now. And then she's like, no, I decided I don't like this. And then I'm like, are we supposed to care about this? Like, are we supposed to be, like, rooting for one or the other? Is this a Team Edward, Team Jacob situation? Like, ghost versus vampire? Like, what am I supposed to take away from this?
Except, like, we hate both of them. Like, Alex sucks and also Sally sucks. And you know what? John sucks, too. And the man also sucks. That's diversity. Yeah,
and he's technically 2 guys.
You could kind of do a love triangle if, like, we ever thought that he and Sally gave a shit about each other, but that's new, you know? I kind of forgot they were even having sex, actually, because I don't care about these characters because they're awful.
Also doesn't really work when one of the characters has been shown to explicitly use, like, drugs and sex to bait people in to murder them to sate a demon. So, like, that's kind of what people are going to naturally assume is what's going on, instead of being like, she loves him, for sure. Like, definitely.
Yeah, she's really, really into him. This is something we've definitely established. And she's like, well, if you don't stay with me, I'm going to tell your wife about being a serial killer. And then she grabs his weenie and they start to have sex again. And then they have more annoying conversation that I don't care about, that is to the tune of like, no, my wife, no, I'm going to tell your wife, et cetera, et cetera. Then after that conversation, they try to have sex again. And then they start fighting and she starts strangling him. And this dumb bitch, John Lowe, start strangling her as though he is going to win a strangle competition with a ghost.
With a ghost.
Incredible. Yeah. And, like, you might be wondering, like, oh, is she super strong? He can't just, like, rip her hands off of his throat. No, she's going to try and stab him in a second, and he's just going to, like, shit whip her into a wall. She's imminently not strong. This is an insane sequence of events that happens.
It's like when you become a serial killer, you gain the ability to hurt ghosts, I think. Is
only
like
if you don't believe
here,
in them. That's
somehow.
That's the secret, is he doesn't believe in ghosts, so he can hurt them. If he believed in them, he wouldn't be able to hurt them. That's the secret. I think. That sounds right. Anyway,
sure.
Sally,
you know, why not?
Yeah. Sally fucks it up and can't stab him because he's like, no, I'm not going to let you stab me. And then the Drildo demon shows up behind her like a JoJo stan. Anyway, the more important part of the episode, Iris and Liz have given Miss Evers a washer and dryer in another room. It's not like a big one or an industrial one, just a regular
one. Not like
one.
A hotel one. Yeah, right. It's like the kind that like I have for
a stackable.
Yeah.
Like for like a single apartment. Yeah, it's definitely not going to fit like a comforter for sure. So it's not really going to make Miss Evers' job easier. And then as they're leaving, Liz and Iris start talking about how they're going to kill themselves. And Miss Evers is like, hey, wait a second. Before you do that, Douglas is still at the bar. And Liz is like, fuck. Okay. And then goes down to the bar. And then we get like a scene that isn't supposed to be in this show, I don't think. Every so often we get a scene like this where an actor for like a subsidiary character that is only in the show for like 5 minutes completely outacts the rest of the like cast and feels like they're from a different television show, and that's Douglas. Douglas is like, oh, I just wanted to let you know before I leave that I am going to be taking your advice. My wife and I are going to move to Boulder, Colorado, and start our canoe business or whatever.
Which, as somebody from around Colorado who's been up in the Boulder area a couple times, yeah, you know what? It fierce competition, though. There's like 6 of them. There's like 6 kayak companies up there. You have chosen the hardest battle possible.
Yeah, and then in like a good moment of writing and a different show, like Liz is like, oh, that's like really good for you. I'm happy for you. And then Douglas like takes her hand and says, thanks, Dad. Like, and reveals that like he's always known that was his like dad, that the Liz Taylor was never pulling the wool over his eyes. It's never been in question whether or not he knew who he was talking to.
And if you were like maybe starting to feel sympathetic for Liz Taylor or whatever, she pulls the dumbest shit in the world where she's like, I can't believe I raised such a compassionate young, like such a someone with so much compassion. And then he goes, correctly, you didn't raise me. Mom did.
Yeah.
Yeah, mom raised me. You left, actually. Yeah. And then Liz Taylor's like, oh.
Yeah.
Right. She goes, that hurts. And it's like, of course it hurts. She's absolutely right. What's the matter with you for even thinking that, you idiot? But,
yeah. And he reveals that, like, the obvious thing that would definitely happen happened, which was that his mom simply told him, hey, your dad has transitioned and is now living as a woman, so that it wouldn't be a surprise if it ever came up later. The whole scene is very sweet. Douglas is like a very sweet character. And then we get immediately sandblasted by the most insane thing a person has ever said that I had to Google to even know what the fuck they were talking about. Because Douglas, while explaining like why he's so like compassionate and is like an ally and like has no problem at all with having her transition, he's like, well, Pedro's death really affected me. And I'm like, fucking who? And then I had to Google it, and it was the guy from The Real World who died. It's so funny because Dennis O'Hare, who is a gay man in real life, very clearly breaks character in that scene because Douglas is like, Pedro, and then there's like an awkward silence where, like, who the fuck is that? And then he's like, from The Real World. And then, like, it pans to Liz Taylor, who is clearly just Dennis O'Hare trying not to laugh. Like, very clearly trying not to laugh. Because what the fuck are you talking about, American Horror Story? What the actual fuck are you talking about? That's the end of that. That's the end of that story. Elsewhere, Donovan and Lady Gaga are having another weird sit-down dinner. Donovan is like, hey, by the way, I killed Rudy. Tee-hee. Damn, Finn Wittrock cannot catch a break this season. His characters show up, are pretty on screen, get murdered. That's like, that's their whole deal. That's literally all they do. Lady Gaga goes to check out the body at the motel. It's there, and she's sad about it. Anyway, don't care about that. Back to the more important storyline. Liz, at the back of the hotel, Liz goes to meet up with Iris, who is doing the funniest fucking thing she could possibly be doing on a laptop.
Yeah, this is really good.
The next, I need you to understand, aside from like for a brief moment where we'll have to talk to John and Alex, the next 5 minutes of television is the funniest that American Horror Story has ever been. Truly.
Or will be.
Or
I'm
going to
say, like,
yeah,
this is probably the funniest thing they've ever done. This, like, legitimately, unironically, on purpose funny.
There's so many times, too, where I'm like, they knew this was hilarious, right? Like, they didn't think this was, like, a real cinematic parallel. Like, they didn't think this was, like, serious, right? It's so deeply unserious what they do.
In fact, to give it more gravitas, I'm going to preemptively talk about the John and Alex scene because it has nothing to do with what else is going to happen, and I don't care about it.
Yeah,
so,
in the
middle of the sequence that's about to happen, we do get a scene where John and Alex go get Holden back, and he's playing video games in the Jelly Bean Room. John is like, okay, sick, I have my vampire son. They start to leave the hotel together. Sally is upstairs and yells at them, saying she's definitely going to kill him. That's all you need to know. It's not important. Who gives a shit? Time for the best sequence that's ever been an American Horror Story. So, like I said, Liz goes up to meet up with Iris, who is doing the funniest thing she could be doing on a laptop, which is making a tribute video for herself in Windows Movie Maker for after she dies. And Liz Taylor is like...
And not like photos of herself either, to be clear. Like a photo of like a monkey riding on top of a... Like a tiny baby monkey riding on top of a... tiny baby tiger with a rainbow behind it. Like real, like Lisa Frank shit.
And like a monkey holding like a cat. There is one picture of her and it's her holding a cat. And I'm like, they keep implying there's a cat in this hotel somewhere, but I've never seen it. it's so funny. I would truly recommend, this is one of the few times I would recommend Googling the scene, like to see if it's on YouTube, because the scene where they're watching it is so fucking funny. They make she makes Liz Taylor watch it, so we also have to watch it, and it's so fucking funny.
And Liz Taylor has the greatest backhanded compliment, and Dennis O'Hare delivers it wonderfully, which is just like, you put so much effort into this. You know what I mean? Like, that was great. I'm like, that's brilliant. Beautiful.
What's also funny is while they're having this conversation and watching this on the laptop, they're sitting on a bed that has roughly 900 guns on it. And other various weapons, because the Iris is like, well, I want us to have options. I don't want us to be like stuck with one thing. We have options. Just such a funny scene. And then Liz Taylor like says like, oh, you spent a lot of time on that. On this slide, I would actually move it to this part so that this lyric actually matches up to this better. And Iris is like, why are you stalling? And Liz is like, oh, this is awkward, but my son loves me again, so I don't want to die. I'm sorry that your son doesn't love you. That sucks, but I'm good. Good luck. And then Iris is like, you know what? Fuck it. No. We have all these guns. We have all these guns and weapons. Let's just take over the hotel. And then it cuts away to...
Well, first there's like an extended bit of Iris being like, you're just gonna leave me alone like everybody leaves me alone. I can't even kill myself with a friend, right? And it's like the most like, shut up. God.
This is why no one likes you, Iris.
Yeah. Really sucking the air out of it. Like, come on, let me be happy about my son being cool. Your son sucks, but like, that's not my problem.
We all knew that. Well, we all hate Donovan.
Yeah. No, literally no one likes Donovan. I don't even think Donovan likes Donovan.
Now it's time for the song we were waiting for, which is going to be used twice in the next 30 seconds, and they're both going to be equally funny. No, maybe not equally. The first time's not quite as funny. The first time is funny because you're like, why is this happening? The second time is funny because it's, why is this happening, but in a hilarious context.
So it starts with Donovan up in the Countess's suite, just kind of hanging out, drinking, and singing his favorite song to himself. The forever iconic and never problematic Hotline Bling by Drake.
And it's loud, too. It's not even, like, it's not being played over the speakers. It's fully dubbed over. So we have to listen to Hotline Bling just fully, like, ADR'd onto the show. He's doing what I can only liken to the dance that Spider-Man does when he's infected by Venom in that one movie.
I was going to say, white boy feeling himself interpretive dance is how I would describe it, of Hotline Bling.
Well, Hotline Bling plays super loud. He's fully, think of that, if you can reference in your mind, that one image of Anthony Mackie dancing, like that specific reaction image is what he's doing, essentially.
But the next thing, because holy shit.
One kind of dumb thing, and then the funny thing. Gaga, bursts into the room and is, like, sobbing because she just came back from seeing Rudy super murdered. And she walks, so she's coming back from knowing Donovan murdered Rudy. That's the context here. She comes into the room, and this MF-er is dancing to Hotline Bling, is, like, emoting at her to Hotline Bling, which is already really funny. Yeah.
Doing a Fortnite dance on the point. She runs up, truly.
And she's just, devastated. Her, makeup's all running. She's clearly been sobbing. Like, she's broken. She's just truly a broken husk of herself. And he's just emoting to Hotline Bling.
Hotline Bling.
Yeah. And she's just kind of, like broken and distant. She's like, you didn't run away? And he's like, well, I mean, you would just fucking find me. So, I didn't think there'd be a point. And she's like, actually, Donovan, I'm dumb as fucking rocks. I couldn't find Rudy in this hotel I've lived in for 100 years. I couldn't find Rudy, even though he was in here for 100 years. I never did any follow-up, could not put two and two together, didn't even bother looking. I was here for 100 years, never got curious.
And then Donovan goes on this whole thing of, like,
yeah, it's cool. I want you to kill me. Like, if the only way I can make you happy is by you killing me, that's cool. I want that. I'd die to make you happy. That's, like, the whole point. Also, I killed the guy you liked that made you happy, but, you know, it's, like, complicated, and Lady Gaga's like, my beautiful, stupid child.
What a beautiful thing I've made.
What a beautiful thing I've made, which, and, fuck off.
Yeah.
And luckily, when I'm at the peak of yelling fuck off at my screen, two heroes bust in and say fuck off in a way that I could not have been prepared for. Liz, would you like to describe what
happened? God, it's so fucking funny. So for context, there's no music. Hotline Bling has died out, and the two of them, Lady Gaga and Donovan, are embracing, and they're both crying. It's supposed to be like a very tense, high stakes, high emotion moment where, like, Donovan's on his knees looking up at her being like, you can kill me if it'll make you happy, and she's crying, and like, this
what
is two characters
thing I've made.
Yeah, these are two characters who have come full circle in this like cycle of destruction, and they're now coming to terms with it, and they've realized there's like no way to really come back from this. They just have to move forward. And then Iris and Liz Taylor literally kick the fucking doors open, quite literally kick them fucking open. Hotline Bling starts playing louder.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Yeah, it's like so crazy.
It starts playing so fucking loud, so fucking loud, and then they start fucking Danny DeVito. You know, anyway, I started blasting, both hands, both guns akimbo, just start
akimbo.
Fucking, yeah, just start
Kathy
fucking
Bates
lighting them up.
Mind you.
It is the funniest fucking scene I may have ever seen in a television show, period.
Also, both of them look like they're surprised by the gun with every gunshot. Like, they do sell to people who have never fired a gun before trying and being like, oh, God.
Like, oh, my God.
Ooh, the number of times they, like, jerk their wrist and then fire and then their wrist goes solid. And it's like, wait, but that's not how. Come on. But truly, just. They go, it's like Office Space levels of like them beating the shit out of the photocopier. Like, it's so oversold, and it's like this little tiny old lady.
It's so good. The whole setup of like, we just heard Hotline Bling 30 seconds ago in a different context that was pretty funny. Then it turned into this weird, kind of sad, like, fuck-ass conversation between Donovan and Lady Gaga that's clearly like the climax of their conflict. And it gets, like, real emotional for a second, and then they're like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, here we are, Hotline Bling again, this time it's louder, also, we have a bunch of guns, and then they just start firing into the room. We don't see, like, anything happen, we just see the last scene is them firing into the room.
It's the camera's pointed at them, like, they're shooting at the camera in a way, you know, and that's the last you get is, like, Liz Taylor and Kathy Bates just firing guns. I'm doing that motion of them firing as I'm describing it because it's such a scene.
It's so funny. It's
nothing
so
can
funny.
Prepare
the first time I watched it, when I was watching Hotel like in earnest, like however many years ago, 10 years ago or whatever, I still wasn't super into this season, but when this scene happened, I remember like hooting and hollering, being like, fuck yes, this kicks ass. This is so funny. Holy shit, this is so funny. And I had the exact same reaction because I didn't remember this happened until like they first started talking about killing themselves again. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that scene's in this episode.
This is what I mixed up in She Wants Revenge and She Gets Revenge, is I was like, this scene has to.
It's so good. God, it's so good. It's so funny. Again, like, watch it on YouTube, just out of context. Out of context is a scene, it's equally as funny. Like, it's just a funny scene. And speaking of She Wants Revenge, She Gets Revenge, no one really gets revenge in this episode, really. I mean, maybe Liz Taylor and Iris, kind of, maybe, we don't really see, so.
I guess for killing Tristan, she gets revenge. By the way, if just for the record, I believe, just to make sure, yeah, if you Google American Horror Story Hotline Bling, that's the first result.
Hell yeah.
Both
yes.
Great. Talked about. Whoever
yes.
did this, cut it so that you get Will, not Will Drake, sorry, whatever his name, Donovan dancing, and then you get, guns akimbo.
Yes.
God, looking at it now, even.
That's so funny.
And again,
funny.
Like, I have to iterate too. Like, Lady Gaga saying, like, what a beautiful thing I've made. And this music's all soft. They kick the door down. And then she looks up. There's, like, a flame of her going, huh? And then that's when the guns happen.
It literally is like a meme, like a YouTube poop of, like, they're just having a moment. And then, like, the door gets busted in by, like, the Kool-Aid man. And he's like, yeah. I know when that hotline bling. It's so funny.
Like, legit. Like, it would be like if there was, like, a monologue happening in a Shakespearean play, like the end of Hamlet, and they're having quiet moment, and they're just, I don't wear the hell I'm right! Just guns immediately. It's so fucking crazy.
The camera's like on the floor pointed up as they walk in too. You know what I mean?
I love this. I love it. It's so good. It's the only good scene in American Horror Story, like, period. It's so good.
It would legitimately fit, like, better in, like, Saints Row 4 than it does in American Horror Story. It's fucking wild.
It's so...
God,
yeah, the low angle shot to make him look hard. Hell yeah.
It's good. It's so good. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well... That's where that episode ends. The next one is called Battle Royale. Yay, that's my favorite movie. I can't wait to see what that has to do with anything, given that most of the cast is dead.
Sorry, Beef is posting screenshots of it, and Kathy Bates is holding the guns so far in front of her and so far out of line with each other. It's unbelievable. She's trying to, like, get up on a high shelf with the gun.
Dennis O'Hare awesome. Is literally over a head taller than her too, so it's, like, really disparate where Liz Taylor's, like, kind of standing tall, these guns, and little Kathy Bates, like, is absolutely, like, Danny DeVito-ing this. Like, I just started laughing. It
like truly is like an adult next to a toddler holding guns.
And Lady Gaga's face is so incredulous. Well, Donovan's on his knees on the ground. Also, like, Iris just being like, well, Donovan's probably in there. Time to shoot him a whole bunch.
I just want to post one last thing, because actually right before that incredulous look, she's like, the beautiful thing, she's holding on to him. Then they burst in, and she almost, like, drops him like an item almost. Where they're just like, huh? And then she's just like, he just goes down or whatever. And then, yeah, sorry.
It's so good. It's so good. Look it up. It's so good. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what Battle Royale has for us next week.
All right. Later, folks.
Till next time. Take it easy. Have a great night. Bye.